Hey guys, on this episode of Get Real Podcast, I'm talking to my beautiful influencer friend, Liz Mace. She is a twin sister to Megan. They are Megan and Liz. They are YouTube sensations. They have over 1 million YouTube followers. They're incredible influencers. And Liz is my only friend that I have right now who has contracted the coronavirus. And she is talking all about how she's dealt with it, how her symptoms appeared, how she got tested, what she's done since she got tested, the protocol she's been following, and her experience and her hope for all of us as a country when we come out of this. It's just a really informative interview. Of course, neither one of us is a medical doctor, so I want to state that. I'm just asking her questions that I have, and she's just answering from her experience, and it is really insightful and really... it's just a great interview, and I love Liz so much. She is one of the most beautiful, positive, uplifting people that I know. So here she is, Liz Mace.
So I am Zoom chatting with my beautiful friend, Liz Mace, but now you have a new last name.
I do, yes, I do. I haven't legally changed it, but I do have a new last name.
And a new hubby, and y'all are in your new apartment, in our house. I don't even know where you live.
And yeah, it's an apartment, yeah.
We are in the midst of the craziest times I feel like our world has seen. For me, like, I know we've gone through some crazy stuff in the world, but this corona crisis is nuts. And you are the first person that I know that actually contracted the coronavirus. So talk to me about your experience of this, because we are all just on our pins and needles about the coronavirus. What are the symptoms? How do you think you got it? How long did it incubate? Like, what does it feel like? What's recovery like? All of it.
Well, I am actually, you know how you said, you know, I'm the first person that you know to get it. Everybody has said that. Like, I am the first person that I know to get it, even in my like extended circle. And that's why it's so crazy that, and I was so shocked when it came back that my test results were positive, because I had not been around anybody who was sick. I had not been in areas that had high cases. You know, it was, and that's like why I, you know, even in my Instagram posts and everything, I'm trying to stress that you truly do not know anything about this virus, because, you know, you could be exposed to it and have absolutely no idea. And that's what's so scary, because I truly thought that I was being careful and following the guidelines of like washing my hands a lot and social distancing as much as I could. So the fact that, you know, I wasn't out at the bars, you know, like all the time, I was trying to limit as much as I could. So that's kind of what's scary.
And it's crazy because you've been with your husband this whole time and he hasn't gotten it.
Yeah. We're actually very thankful that he hasn't gotten it. In our own little brains, we have no scientific like reason at all to believe this, but we kind of feel like maybe he was just carrying it asymptomatically, or just has a really strong immune system, but it kind of feels like maybe he was just carrying it, because it feels impossible that he didn't get it with how they're saying, you know, how infectious it is. So I don't know, but either way, we're grateful that he's not sick right now.
So tell me when you started noticing symptoms and what those felt like.
Yeah. So it was,
for the record, I have to say, I am not a medical doctor. For anyone listening, I do not want anyone to think that I have medical expertise. I'm simply interviewing my friend about coronavirus, because we're all curious about it. So that's as far as it goes for me medically. None. I have no experience. I just have to say that for the record.
Yes. And also, I mean, same for the record, I am just sharing, you know, what my doctors told me, what I have been told thus far. And, you know, that's that. I am not a professional. But yeah, so I started showing symptoms. My first symptom was that I was getting the chills really bad. And I was in isolation at this point. And I was literally like, Liz, like, shut up. Like, you are making this up in your head. I was like, you don't have the coronavirus. Like, calm down. I like had a glass of wine. I was like, you need to calm down. And so then I went to bed, and, you know, I still felt kind of like chilly, but I was like, maybe it's cold in my house. Like, cry about it. So then I woke up at like 3 in the morning, like uncontrollably chilled, like couldn't get warm. Like I felt at that point, I was like, something is wrong. Like, this is like not right. So then I took my temperature and I had a low grade fever. I think it was like 99.8 or something, which I know, I guess technically, you know, I've read places that that's not even technically a fever, but if my temperature is normally 97, mm-hmm. then yeah, like for me, that's a temperature. So, and I felt like I had a fever. So then I called my mom, freaking out. And, you know, she was like, well, you know, just go get tested in the morning just to make yourself feel better. And so I woke up the next morning and that's what I did first thing in the morning. Sorry.
Hey, puppy.
And then at that point in the morning, I had literally the worst headache I've ever had in my whole life. Like, oh my gosh, it was so bad. And my body started aching really bad at that point. Like, it felt like I had run a triathlon like 2 days ago, and on top of the chills and headache and fever. That was, and those were my main symptoms. I had absolutely no coughing. I did not feel short of breath, like nothing like that. And so when I went in to the doctor, I didn't even ask them to test me for coronavirus. Like, I wasn't going in like, y'all, I have coronavirus, I need to be tested. I just explained my symptoms and they were like, okay, cool. So they signed me in and they were like, it's going to be a little bit of a wait, which I was expecting. So, and they made me wait in my car. They make everybody wait in their car.
How do they isolate you when you're in the, how do the doctors protect themselves and how do they isolate you?
So when I walked in, which is another thing I want to talk about, is like how I got my test. That's like a really big reaction that people have been like, how did you even get tested and blah, blah, blah. And I don't have an answer for that besides I did. I mean, mm-hmm. I walked into my walk-in clinic and they said, okay, you know, great, and we're going to test you. So I really have no other explanation than that. But yeah, you walk in and you have to put on a mask if you're showing fever and all the symptoms. So you put on a mask immediately that they provide for you. And then I signed in and they said, okay, wait in your car. So I waited 3 hours actually, to like get my test. But then they took me back, and at first they tested me for the flu. And honestly, that's what I thought that I had because I had no other symptoms. And this was last week, so I feel like even more information wasn't out yet. Mm-hmm. So, and then they came back, you know, the in-office tests were really quick. It was like 15 minutes, and they were both negative, both strains of flu. So then at that point, they tested me for COVID-19, which I also want to talk about the test itself because I've gotten a lot of questions about that. Was it horrible? You know, the test like, and it was pretty simple. Like, it's just a swab all the way to the back, like, so it hits the back of your throat. Was it awesome? No.
Through your
was
nose?
It horrible? No. So, yeah, like all the way to the back of like your throat. So it's like all the way back there, but I mean, it was fine. But yeah, and it took like 10 seconds. And then they were like, you know, they sent me with a pamphlet that said, if you do test positive, you know, here's what to expect, blah, blah, blah. No medication, obviously, because it's a virus. So, you know, you can't prescribe anything for it. So they just sent me along and they're like, if you feel bad, take over-the-counter flu medications and, you know, don't talk to anybody, don't see anybody for the next 14 days. So that's pretty
much it.
How
long did it take to get your results back?
It took 3 days, which they said it would. They said it would take 48 to 72 hours. And it was on like the third day after getting tested that I got my results, which I actually read the results wrong at first. So that was a fun like hour where I was like, oh, I feel, because at that point I was feeling better. So
your actual, the bulk of your symptoms and the actual virus hitting you really hard lasted only about 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Like by that third day, like that's why I think the result was even more shocking to me, because by that Saturday, I literally woke up that day and I was like, I had gotten my results that morning and it was, and I read them wrong, but they said negative and I thought, whatever. And so then I was like cleaning the kitchen. I was like taking the dog out. I was like living, you know, obviously like that's the only thing I went outside. I didn't see anybody, which is great. But That's how good I felt, because I was like, shh, like, no way. And then I got another notification that, like, from the doctor that was like, your COVID test was positive. And then I showed the results to Wes, and he's like, oh yeah, like, you read that wrong. And I was like, great. So yeah.
How did you feel when you found out you had coronavirus? Because I feel like this is this big thing. It's just like the whole wide world is talking about it. And it's like, oh my God, coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. And then to actually like get it, how does that feel?
Yeah. I cried for like a really long time. I really did. I freaked out because, not because of how I was feeling, or I wasn't concerned about me, because at that point I was feeling great. You know what I mean? Like, that was not my concern. I was just like, one, oh my gosh, Weston's going to get sick. I was like, he's guaranteed to get sick. And that freaked me out really bad, because everything you hear, you know, is it's so infectious, and you know, it's inevitable that if you have it, you're going to spread it, and it's easy to spread, et cetera, et cetera. So, I was freaking out about that. I was freaking out about like seeing my mom. I had seen her like just a few days before, and like, luckily she's very cautious, and like, she literally wouldn't let me like see her at all. Like, anyways. So, I was still worried about that. I was like, well, great. Who have I spread it to? Who have I spread it to, you know, in the past 2 weeks or however long it may have said, but like actually hearing that you have the disease that, or disease, whatever, the infection,
virus.
That, like the virus that everybody is avoiding was a lot.
It's a lot. Like, just, I know. It's like, like you got the virus, and it's not like you did anything wrong. It's not like you did anything different than anyone else is doing. It's just like, to me, I feel like the coronavirus is Russian roulette. I'm like, who is going to get it? Like, if I go to the grocery store and I use all like a mask and use like Lysol, everything off, like, what if I don't do it well enough and I pick up a box that someone else touched that had coronavirus? It's just, is that, it's, I feel like it's that random. Like, who is just in the wrong place at the wrong time around, you know, and catches it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's really no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, and I felt really embarrassed, and I
know
felt
you
really
said that
guilty.
In your post. You said that. Why did you feel embarrassed?
Because I just feel like, you know, the media and everybody, even on social media, is like, you know, like, do your part, stay inside, do your part, stay inside, do your part, do your part, do your part. And I felt like part of doing our part as like a community, and as part of like, especially our age group, like, your part was to not get the freaking coronavirus. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point. And so I just felt embarrassed that I was the only one to have it. One, two, I was embarrassed at like, you know, I obviously didn't do my part because I don't know who I had spread it to. And that was like, I don't know. I know that like, I'm looking back now and I'm like, you know, like, it's fine. Like, it is like what you said, it's kind of like Russian roulette of like, it's a world pandemic, you know, it's like you can't help, like, you didn't start the pandemic, which I'm like, I know that, but I don't know. I just felt like it was my one job and I didn't do it. So.
Well, I could see why you would feel all sorts of feelings, like, just because it's all that anybody is talking about. I mean, and I just like, the whole wide world is shut down. It is so crazy. Like, Michael and you as a musician, like, they canceled all their tour dates. Nobody is gathering in group settings. Like, everything is shut down. I'm like, every morning I wake up and I'm like, for a second I'm thinking everything's normal. And then I remember we're in the most alternate universe that I have ever lived in. Like, it is just so crazy. How are you navigating this time where everything is on pause? Like, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, luckily, like, both me and my husband's jobs are like, you know, you can do them remotely. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I own a store and, you know, we had to close
Epic
that.
Epic Rain Boutique. Yeah. And it's so cute in Franklin and the factory. When the world turns back on, everyone check it out. And it's online, epicrainboutique.com.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's been like interesting. We've had to kind of like transition everything over to like, back to like just online, but that's tough too, because we are a small business. And as of right now, I have the equipment to print the labels to like ship out items. So it's like, I'm sorry, but it's like, it's like all those have to be on hold because I'm not about to send out items when I'm still in isolation or, you know, I'm sure like, you know, so that's been interesting and whatever. But I think overall, I am feeling very grateful for the fact that I had a mild case, the fact that I'm able to kind of push the agenda that this is a little bit more serious than I think some people are taking it because people do know me or whatever. And I'm like, whatever. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that, you know, our jobs aren't totally stopped and that we're still able to work a little bit and earn money when I know a lot of people can't right now. So I don't know. It's a crazy world out there. That's for sure.
So what do you think is going to change about people's perspective of life once we come out of this? Because I feel like so many things have been shifted. People are home, like parents are homeschooling. People are figuring out how to get creative with their jobs and jobs that never worked from home or trying to work from home. Some people aren't able to work, but like everything's changing. Like, what do you think are some blessings that will come out of this world? Like this bad time. I feel like there always can be blessings that rise, like the phoenix rises from the ashes. Like, what do you think the phoenix will be that is rising from these ashes?
I mean, I think it will be like what you said. You know, I think people are going to have to kind of think of their lives differently. And I think personally, I think I kind of have a huge issue with like busy culture in general. It's something that bothers me a lot on like social media and everything is like, you know, like, well, I'm just so busy. I can't breathe. And like, I'm so busy. I have this and I have this and here's what I'm doing. And I think that this is truly forcing people to slow down and like actually take time for themselves, which is amazing. And I think it's forcing people to kind of have routines that are focused on them and not so much on what they think they should be doing because there's no other option but to focus on what you want to do in your own day. And I think that that's a really cool mindset that a lot of people don't get the chance to be in. So I think it's great, honestly. I think there's a lot that's bad, but I think there's a lot that is really good in kind of guiding people to know themselves a little bit better and know that busy culture isn't totally necessary, which is, you know, true. You know, you don't need to be breaking your back every single day to, you know, do whatever, when like the important things are your family and your health especially, you know, and that's kind of what I am drawing from it. But
I agree. I think that it is making us really prioritize because when something that is so scary, this invisible enemy, as they're saying, is out there. And it's so terrifying. What you immediately cling to are the most precious things in your life. And for a lot of people, that is family and their group of people that they care about. And it's like, all of a sudden, you're so worried about just making sure your people and your family are taken care of. And then helping where you can in the community, even if it's just spreading the word, like you are saying, like, hey, I'm spreading this message of social distancing, trying to help, whether people are trying to lend a smile or laugh, or like, I feel like people are using their platforms in a way instead of just promoting, like you said, the busy culture. I'm seeing so much more on my Instagram feed of people doing stuff that A, either brings joy to people, like that is fun and funny and like funny memes and funny like YouTube videos and funny TikToks. Or spreading a message of social awareness of like how we can help and come together in this time. And I'm like, it's actually like I'm seeing social media being used in such a beautiful way right now instead of just saying, oh, look at me, I'm busy, buy this shirt. Which not, I'm not saying we are not still going to promote brands that we love, but I do think people who are promoting brands, like I promote brands, you promote brands, it is making me very clear about like, I'm very clear. Like, I'm not going to promote something right now unless it really feels 100% true in my heart. You know, I think it's just making everyone get very intentional about what they're putting out there.
Yeah. And get creative too about, you know, like, I think it's an opportunity. both as a consumer and as like an influencer, to kind of promote brands that do cater to like different things. You know, like it's like, oh, like this can be used more at home, or like this is an option that you before had to go outside of your house for, but now you can do inside. I'm actually doing a brand deal later this week that even before this all started, now it's like actually really, really timely, but it's like a in-home like laser hair removal thing. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's actually great, because you know, like before you had to go out and it's like, no, all those places are closed now. And it's like, great. But it's products like those where I think it's interesting. And I've seen a lot of different products, you know, use like face masks and whatever. It's like, okay, like I'm going to buy those now because I'm home. And I think that's an interesting scape and change that I like seeing, you know, it's different products. So it's cool.
I think it's cool too. I was talking to my friend Lainey Crowder yesterday. We had a Zoom date like we're doing.
Yes.
And she has two kids, and I have a lot of mom friends who are now the teacher of their children, which is
crazy.
Like, you know, who is equipped to teach? Like, you know, like we all, I'm sure, can do it, but I just think, like, I've been talking to not just Lainey, but other friends, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. Like, I absolutely, like, I am so thankful for our teachers. And I know that, like, some Instagrams, there's like, I should link this. I'll try to find the links and I'll try to put it on my Instagram stories after I post this podcast Monday. It'll be coming out Monday. That, like, there's online teachers now that are popping up, and like what people are like, there, this one woman had a Instagram account. She had like 300 followers, and now she's like 300,000 followers because every day she's doing school on her, on her social media. And I'm like, it's just, to me, that is what it's like. Mr. Rogers says, in times of tragedy, always look for the helpers. To me, like, it's that same kind of vibe. Like right now in this time of tragedy, I am loving to see where people are, like you said, getting creative, and how people are using their platform, using their skills to really benefit people. And it's like, it's really like squeezing the juice out of people. And it's making like the, getting the most juice out of the squeeze, because it's like, okay, people are really stepping up and figuring out how they can navigate this crazy time.
Yes. And that's something, you know, going back to the whole like busy culture or whatever, it's like, These are the same people that before, you know, couldn't think like that, you know, like they couldn't think like that because they were so wrapped up in that kind of like fast life. Whereas like this really truly has made people slow down and realize like, how can I help and what can I give back and how can I do this? And I think that that's really cool, because they are, it's the same people just kind of applying themselves differently. And it's really cool to see. So I like that.
So when you were in your, when you got your diagnosis, what what steps did you have to take to isolate? Like, what did the doctor prescribe you to do in your days of recovery?
So as far as like my isolation, at first they told me 14 days, and I actually had just gotten a call yesterday, which was day 7, that said that the CDC has changed their model. So it's not 14 days anymore, it's 7. And you have to feel 3 days of good within the 7 days. So that's nice, actually. Cause I was thinking I was, you know, it was gonna be 14 days, like not even like taking the dog out. I was, you know, being that strict about it. But so now I'm technically off isolation, which is awesome. Not that it's going to change much, because we're still getting everything delivered and I'm really cautious, and I kind of don't feel comfortable going to the grocery store or anything yet, just in case, you know, like I am still spreading it. Like I'm very paranoid about that. But anyways, but yeah, he just basically was, they were like, you know, rest a lot. Even if you recover well, you know, you're still fighting this virus. And I have felt that, like, I felt extremely tired still. Like if I'm standing for like 30 minutes, I need a break after 30 minutes, which is crazy. And that's the only time that I have ever felt the shortness of breath is, like when I'm standing for a while or like doing laundry or something, like I do feel like my lung capacity is like a little bit less than it was before, which is really weird because it, like, up until I got sick, I was running like 4 to 5 miles every other day. So like, it really does kind of, it affects you more than you think. And that's been hard for me, but yeah, they just, you know, advise just resting a lot. And if you're feeling sick, just, or feeling ill, whatever, just rest and hydrate, basically everything like they would tell you for the flu. So,
yeah. Okay. So you have, I'm trying to get clear on the time frame. So like, when you get, say you contract corona and there's like a whole mm-hmm. period of time that you can have it without knowing it. Is it, are they saying like you can be spreading it from when you get it? Because the isolation, like I keep hearing 14 days. So it's like, what was the 14 days for? Is it like when you get it, the whole beginning, like the, even the invisible part of the time that you have it when you don't know you have it? Because like, I guess you don't even know when to start counting. Because like, or, yeah. Because like, I what I had heard is like, don't be around anyone, like isolate for 14 days. And then obviously we're still all isolating no matter what. It's just the way we are in the state of the country right now. But what is, so has the 14 days now changed to 7 days? Like, can you kind of define that? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, but I just know that it was 14 days and not seven. And so what is that distinction?
Yeah. So the 14 days would start, I guess, when you start showing symptoms.
Okay.
That's my understanding is they just, cause when I went to the doctor and got tested, they said for the next 14 days, stay inside.
And that's and the then I day got that you started showing symptoms.
That's the day I started showing symptoms. Yeah. Cause obviously if you are carrying it and you don't know, I mean, you don't know. And that is why self-quarantine is so important, because you could be carrying it for 14 days and you've been out at the bars and you've been, well, not anymore, but you know, you've been out and you've been inviting people over to your home and all that, and you've been unknowingly spreading it. And that's why the isolation is so important. But yeah, and I guess the CDC has changed their days of if you are infected from 14 to 7, which is great.
So. Okay, so now instead of quarantining, I mean, instead of quarantining, you get it, and now you have 7 days. Like, what if, but some people, I feel like it's lasting a long time. Like, I've been following Colton Underwood, and, like, he's still mm-hmm. in a lot of the throes of it. Like, yeah. I think he got a heavier version. So, like, what if you get a stronger, because it sounds to me like maybe you got a pretty mild case of corona. What if you get mm-hmm. a really strong case of corona? Is it still just 7 days, or is it like 7 days after you start feeling good?
So from my understanding, it's after you start feeling good.
Okay.
So, so in like Colton's case, I feel like he wouldn't start that 7 day isolation period until he was feeling better. Like, that's okay. my understanding of it.
So he has to feel good because, for, I mean, you know, 3 days before he starts his 7 day. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
He would have to start feeling good for 7 days, I guess. I don't, you know, I'm not totally sure. You know, like I said, I'm not a professional. But all I know is, like, if I, like, and I told even the nurse, I was like, if I were still feeling sick, I still wouldn't go anywhere. And I would play it by that, you know, like, all I know is in my case, she told me that if you're feeling good 3 days out of the seven, like really good 3 days out of the seven, then you can take yourself out of isolation. Whereas for somebody like Colton, obviously he's not feeling so good 3 days out of the seven since he got, you know, started showing symptoms. So yeah. I would guess that he would still be on isolation. So, okay.
So when you start feeling good, then maybe like 7 days after you start feeling good, I don't know. It's still all very confusing.
All I know is just play it cautionary and stay inside no matter what. That's like my rule. I'm like, you know what? Like I said, even now, like I feel fine, have felt fine since Saturday, and I'm still not comfortable going to the grocery store because I'm like, I don't know if I'm spreading it, you know?
Yeah. And today's Wednesday for all y'all listening. This is going to come out on Monday, mm-hmm. but this is, we're recording it a week ahead of time. So you felt good since Saturday. Today's Wednesday. So you've been feeling good for like four mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the world going to look like? When is the world going to turn back on? And what do you think is going to happen with like our economy?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough for everybody. I mean, truly, you know, it's the restaurants. I asked this on my Instagram just this morning because I genuinely didn't know. I asked, is it better to order from these local restaurants that are still open, the delivery and takeouts, or is it cruel to have these people be working? You know, like, am I supporting these people working who shouldn't be? The answer was overwhelmingly that these businesses do want your business. And if they're open, then they're open. And if they couldn't work or if they, you know, whatever, the owners would close it. So if a small business is open, then you should buy from them do your delivery or takeout from them is the consensus I got. But I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for the local businesses, you know, because it is, especially the restaurants and hospitality things where it's like, you know, you go to them, but I don't know. I'm really hoping that something happens. Either it slows down and we're back and up and running in like a month, but who knows? I've heard rumors that it's not going to be until like July. So
I just keep wondering, is there going to be a big, big hit? Like, are we going to all of a sudden, it's going to hit our country so hard? Or are we doing such a good job of social distancing that we aren't going to get a big hit? Like, I'm hoping for the second that it's like, everyone's like, well, that wasn't as big a deal as we thought it was. I'm hoping that that's what everyone's going to say, but maybe because we've done a good job of like really shutting everything down before it became a big deal, you know, like I keep like bracing myself for impact. Like, when is it going to hit us? Like it hit China. When is it going to hit us? Like it hit Italy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think that's why I know I keep saying that the quarantine is important, but it is, you know, because I think that is truly like what you just said. I think it's going to define whether we have what happened in Italy and China, or if we're going to kind of just all look back and be like, that wasn't a big deal. But I'd rather, much rather have us all be like, oh, that wasn't a big deal. Like, and have people think that it was like not worth it. I'd rather have people think that, you know?
Right.
But we'll see.
From your understanding, once again, neither you nor I are medical professionals. What is the difference between the coronavirus and the flu? Like, because you look, I've always known the flu's out there. And like now with the new baby, I've been very nervous about bringing her in large crowds and like mm-hmm. being around people who are sneezing or sick. Like, because like, I don't want her to mm-hmm. get the flu. But yet we all still go on about our lives and we are in social settings with people who are actively carrying the flu. You know, like the world doesn't shut down for the flu. So mm-hmm. What is the difference between coronavirus and the flu?
I think the difference is that we just don't know anything about it. And I mean, that's evident even from my treatment. I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been a week. And when I got tested last week, I genuinely went in thinking that I did not have it because there were really no cases that people were talking about that had the same symptoms that I did. Whereas this week, you know, there's been a handful of cases that had the exact same symptoms that I did, you know? So it's like, it's the unknown, I think, that is crazy and scary. And that's like what's so different than the flu. Obviously there's no vaccine for it. So, and also I think, the way that people react differently towards it and the way that their bodies handle the virus is what's really scary. Like, you know, like we were just talking about Colton. And, you know, he's a 28-year-old football dude, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, very healthy in all respects. And I'm 27, you know, mm-hmm. I am not a football dude. You know what I mean? I would say that we're
active.
I would say that we're at like, but I would say that we're at equal levels for all purposes, you know, equal levels of health. And we were actually diagnosed and like showing symptoms around the same time, I think within a couple days of each other. I'm acting like I know him when I certainly don't.
For everyone,
but, you know.
Colton, don't watch The Bachelor. He was The Bachelor a couple seasons ago.
Yeah. But from what he shared online, you know, it looks like we kind of contracted it at the same time, showed symptoms same time, et cetera, et cetera. Here I am, like, living my life, and I'm, like, just fine. When he literally posts yesterday that he can only use 20% of his lungs and that he can't even, you know, now he's just starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so scary is, you know, we don't know how, and that's why I was so scared and I am still so scared about if my husband gets it, you know, like, it's the same virus, but is he going to have a reaction like Colton is?
Right.
You know, like, is he going to be really sick and, you know, maybe need to go to the emergency room? Like, I don't know. And nobody knows. And that is what is so terrifying, truly, I think.
And I think also, I think this is pretty common fact. I mean, once again, I don't know. I'm just what I've been hearing from the news. I think it spreads like 3 times more than the flu does. Like, I think we're able to spread it.
Yeah.
It gets able to spread on a bigger level than the flu does.
Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we, that like comes out about it after people have had it and the more that, you know, studies are being done, I think we'll get a little bit of a broader scope on like the incubation period and everything. But that's also really scary. You know, they're saying that you can be asymptomatic for 2 whole weeks and not know. And I mean, if that was the case for me, I mean, you know, I was in Colorado on a family vacation, you know, in the 2 weeks before. And, you know, like, and that's just what's so crazy. And that's what's so scary is that 2 week incubation period of like, you're spreading it. And I don't think, again, I'm not a professional, but I feel like the flu isn't that long.
I think I feel that way too. And everyone that you've been around though, no one's gotten it, right?
No one has gotten it. Yeah. Knock on wood.
So that's another
thing. I did have one friend who had texted me that she needed to get tested and she doesn't have her results back yet. But even so, I hadn't seen her in a week, like a full week before I started showing symptoms. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if she does have it, if she got it from me, or, you know, she had been social distancing still, but I mean, I know she had gone a few places and stuff. So it's, you can't really like pin it on that one interaction a week before, you know, mm-hmm. But that's the only person that I know of. And I was with her and, you know, my sister and another friend and they're all fine. So who knows, you know,
who knows?
Yeah.
So I want to talk just a little bit about you for everyone listening to this mm-hmm. podcast, because you are such an interesting, amazing person in general. I've had you and your sister, Megan, on my podcast before. Have I had you on twice? I think I've had you guys on twice. Megan and Liz, for everyone listening, yeah. They are YouTube stars. This is Liz of the Dynamic Duo. Y'all are twin sisters. You have like over a million YouTube subscribers, you're Instagram influencers, y'all host, you sing, you perform, you travel, you had your own clothing line at Macy's, like y'all do everything. I'm sure I'm not even naming all the things that you guys do. And so I have loved getting to know you and your sister over the past few years. And just tell everybody, oh, now you have a clothing store, Epic Rain, you have
yes.
your own brand, your own line of clothing. So kind of tell everyone what you got going on right now and what you're looking forward to once the world turns back on.
Well, once the world turns back on, I'd say like one of our bigger focuses right now is Epic Rain Boutique, which is our boutique that we own a physical location in Franklin. And then obviously we're all online, but building that as a brand has been really, really fun. And, you know, we have been able to draw experience from, you mentioned, but like we've had a clothing line in Macy's a few years ago. And, you know, so clothing has always been like a really big part of like just our brand and what we love. So that's been really fun and exciting. And it focuses on women in music, which is, you know, a whole nother aspect of why we're so passionate about it is because we are women in music. And so that's been really fun. And we're working on like big events with Epic Rain and, you know, having like a big concert series, which again, when the world starts back up, that will be happening, but you know, it's postponed for now. But, and then, you know, we're still doing music. We still write all the time. We release music whenever we kind of feel like it. And then Megan, my sister, is getting married in October. So like, that's a whole nother aspect. And she's working with like The Knot, which is amazing. And, Bye. You know, so that's like, yeah. Oh yeah. She's like one of the, like the most influential weddings of the year with The Knot. And there's only like 10 couples.
That's yeah. amazing.
So yeah. So that's really fun for her. And like, I'm helping her, you know, create content around that. And I'm helping her just with, you know, being her maid of honor, just, you know, all of the wedding stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be great. It still is great. And we're lucky that, you know, we're able to create content and music and, you know, fun clothes and all that. So it's all going to be great. It is still great, but I think when it's all getting back up and running, it'll be extra rewarding that we all get to do what we want to do. And
I totally
that.
Agree. So, it's going to add a whole new level of appreciation for getting to do mm-hmm. what we love. And I think it's mm-hmm. going to bring awareness to people who maybe were doing things they didn't love. Like maybe it's a chance to have a reset to be like, you know what? I actually have been home now for months because of Corona. Mm-hmm. And maybe it makes people like reassess. Like I don't want to do that anymore. I want to like focus more on what I love, or at least pick up a hobby, or at least reprioritize. And I think that is what this could be an opportunity for all of us to really see what brings us joy in life and to just carve out mm-hmm. more of that. And it is a blessing. Like you and your sister, y'all have created a life for yourself where you are spreading your talents and your joy with people. And how rewarding is that to get to make that a career? You know, like I agree with you when this comes back on it. Like I read something that people are going to appreciate being able to like give a hug, like go to just like the most simple things we'll appreciate. Mm-hmm. Go to a concert. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all that stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Tell me the best thing about being a twin.
Best thing about being a twin. There are so many great things. It's honestly, it's like the best part of my life. Like, honestly, like I say that all the time. If you don't have a twin, it's like, man, you're really missing out. But like, you know, it's just like, it's just, we have completely grown up together and in a way where if you had somebody who shared every experience growing up, you know, in the same household with you and all at the same age, all at, you know, the same developmental points, it's like, it is just a bond that's unlike any other. And I feel like even as adults now, we text all day, every day. People are like, what do you guys text about? And I'm like, I don't know, like just like anything, everything. So there really isn't one best part. I mean, I guess it's just, she's always there for me. And I'm always there for her, whether it's something stupid, whether it's something funny, whether it's something emotional, like nobody gets her like I do and vice versa. So it's really cool. And it's the best.
I love that. Oh, I love her. That. I know. She's not Atlanta with her fiance, right?
She's in Memphis, but
Memphis it's, with her fiance.
Yeah. Yes. So it's weird, but it's okay.
But y'all's your husband and her fiance are besties too, right?
Hold on. Baby, is this your phone? Is this your charger? I'm so sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Laptop charger? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So actually, I met my husband through her now fiance, like, cause they were best friends growing up in Memphis. So
of course y'all had like to marry best friends.
I know. It's this whole little like Brady Bunch like situation. And we always joke that like when we actually, you know, are starting families and, you know, whatever, we want to live right next door to each other and we want to have a compound. Like we literally joke, we're like, oh, well, it's time for the compound, you know, like we're going to raise all our kids together. Like they're basically going to be brother and sister, even though they're cousins, and it's going to be this whole thing. So just keep an eye out. It's going to be great.
Man, that makes that. Like that fills my heart with so much happiness. Like, why do I want to cry right now hearing that? I'll tell you why. Because that is the stuff that really is the good stuff in life. Like how, yeah. like your everyday living is what really matters. And it's just like such a blessing when you have people that you love so much and just making it the priority to be with them every day. Like that is what mm-hmm. is the good just substance of life. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's everything.
Yeah. And again, like this time has really made, I think, us realize that even more. You know, it's like you kind of think about the things that you miss, and, you know, we both my husband and I, like, you know, we miss just like being able to hang out with them, and we miss, you know, just sitting in the living room together and just like stuff like that. And yeah, that's the good stuff.
It
that's
is
the good stuff for sure.
Yeah. Well, Liz, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for sharing your experience yeah. and like shedding some light in this crazy, scary, confusing time. I wrap up all my podcasts, you know, with Leave Your Light. So just what do you want people to know right now about anything? Just what's on the top, when the top of your mind, what do you want people to know?
I want people to know that, you know, everything is temporary. This is all temporary. I think the sickness is temporary. I think the anxiety is temporary. And that everything will be that much sweeter when it's all over. And I think that that's something that we should all really look forward to and really focus on. Like, what's the first thing that you're going to do when you're able to see your family, when you're able to travel again, you know, and hold on to that through this time, because I think it's really motivating, and it's just, it makes it feel that much sweeter, you know, that you can actually one day do what you want to do. So, yeah.
I love your positivity, Liz. Tell everyone where they can follow you on all your platforms so they can check you out.
You can follow on Instagram at Stella218. It has nothing to do with my actual name, but that's okay. So Stella218. On YouTube, Megan and Liz. TikTok, Megan and Liz. And then my boutique is Epic Rain Boutique. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me. I'm so glad you're feeling better. And I can't wait to hang out with you whenever we all can hang out again.
I know. Same. Sounds like a great time. Looking forward to that for sure.
Okay. Love your face. Don't hang up. I'm going to stop recording. But okay. Love you. Bye, girl.
I love you. Bye.